There's several verses in Daniel chapter 2. There's probably, 49 verses, and I think we can get most all of them in tonight in the book of Daniel. If you were here last Wednesday night, we dealt with, let me pull this up. What I did, I took a picture off of my phone of this board from last week so I could erase it and draw this. But if you'll notice, we're down here, Daniel writes right in here in the 70 years of captivity of Babylon. So that's where Daniel is writing from, him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's where they are writing from. Now let's look at chapter number 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. How many of y'all dream? I don't dream very much. I don't remember. Some people dream. I heard about a fellow one time dreaming that he was eating pancakes without syrup. He woke up and all the bed sheets was gone. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. He was dreaming these things, and it troubled him. And verse number 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Now, this is sort of like a cabinet, our president have cabinet members. They have the advisors. And so you have to understand, Babylonian, pagan religion, they have magicians. They have astrologers. You have sorcerers, Chaldeans. Now, here, just to give you what these guys are, magicians. Obviously, they practice magic, superstitions, fortune-telling ceremonies, that kind of thing. And then you got your astrologers, which they pretend to foretell the future events by studying the stars. And then you got your sorcerers. They communicate with the dead. They do potions and incantations and black magic and evil spirits and all of that kind of thing. That's what your sorcerers do. And then your Chaldeans, they were just your regular philosophers who made science their primary study. That was the category that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in. They was in the category of the Chaldeans. But if you remember Pharaoh, if y'all remember this, Moses went before Pharaoh, said, let my people go. Moses threw his rod down. It became a snake, a serpent, and all that kind of thing. Well, how many of y'all remember Exodus chapter, 2, 3, 4, somewhere along in there. Pharaoh calls his magicians, sorcerers, and all of those. And he throws, they throw their rods down. It becomes snakes. All that kind of thing. So it's not uncommon to see that. Now, look at verse 3. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. Now, y'all remember last week I told you from chapter 2, verse 4, all the way to the end of chapter 7 is written in Syriac. The other part of Daniel is written in Hebrew. Syriac is a Chaldean. It's a Gentile language. Hebrew, a Jewish language, right? Syriac, Chaldean, a Babylonian language, Gentile language, okay? And so this is to the Chaldeans, to the king in Syriac. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. In other words, I mean, how many of y'all remember what your dream? You know, you wake up and you forgot it. And so Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed this dream and it's troubled him, and he wakes up and he forgets it. He can't remember everything about it. And then he calls all of his magicians, sorcerers, all these people that's supposed to be smart. It's supposed to be that knows all this stuff. Well, they say, okay, tell us the dream, and then we will interpret it. Well, who can't do that? who can't do that? And so watch what the king does. Real funny. Verse 5, the king answered, said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. He says, if y'all don't tell me what this dream means, you know, I'll cut your head off. You know, it's like, you know, these, look, there are, you know, these, what I told you a while ago, these sorcerers, these the fortune tellers and all that kind of thing. Look, that stuff is full of baloney. Watch this. Let me just show you how all the fake stuff works, all right? The Lord's telling me right now that somebody in here is having back trouble. Who in here right now is having back trouble? Raise your hand. 3, 4, 5. How good is that? Now let's take up an offering. That's baloney. Even Nebuchadnezzar read into that. He's like, look, I tell you my dream. I'm not paying y'all for me to tell you. I'm paying y'all, you tell me. And if you don't tell me, I'm going to kill you. Boy, ain't that something. Look at verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts, rewards, great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty. I know for sure what y'all are trying to do. Y'all are trying to stall for time so y'all can get together and figure something out. That's what he says. I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because ye see the thing is gone from me. I done forgot the dream. I'm paying y'all to remember and tell me what the dream was and interpret it. And y'all are wanting me to tell you what the dream was. And y'all trying to buy time. All this kind of stuff. That's what he's saying. And then verse number 9. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak from me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. In other words, he's saying, I'm fixing to find out if y'all are fake or real. And I'll be honest, over there in the New Testament, what is it, 1 Timothy chapter 4? Try the spirits to see if they be of God. Not everything you see on television is of God. Not everything that, just because some guy's up there in a suit and he's got a Bible under his arm and he's saying, thus saith the Lord, you better double check and make sure thus saith the Lord. Because there are some fakes out there, you know. And I just demonstrated how easy that is. I'm prophesying right now, there's going to be trouble in the high school this year. Well, that was hard, wasn't it? But you do something like that, and there's people in the congregation with, oh my God. Oh. The Lord has revealed himself. Well, who couldn't figure that out? Anyway. All right. Now, let's look at verse number 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth that there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. You know, those magicians, this is funny to me. The magicians, they're supposed to be able to fortune tell. They're supposed to be able to rub with a crystal ball and tell the future and all that kind of thing. And they're supposed to do all of this stuff. And the king puts them to task, said, hey, what am I paying y'all to do? Tell me what the dream is. Well, there's no way. A king, nobody, no, there's not a king in this world that would ask that of their magicians and sorcerers. And only people that know that is the gods. Small G-O-D-S. And let me say this, there are such things as other gods. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible calls Lucifer, Satan, the god of this world. Small G-O-D. He is a god. He is not the god, but he's a god. All right, look at verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now, you may be wondering, why am I just reading through? A lot of this is self-explanatory. As I'm reading, I don't have to comment much because it's pretty well. You can figure out what's going on here. Verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now watch this. You say, well, why are they looking for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Why are they going to kill them? Because they're a part of that Chaldean section. You remember, you had your magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, your Chaldeans. All of those were members of the cabinet. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in captivity and went to the Babylonian university to learn to be a, because they were smart. They were very intelligent. And so they're supposed to be advisors to the king. So the king says, wrap them all up, kill them all. Well, you're fixing to find out. Daniel's going, wait a minute. Why are y'all killing us? He didn't ask me what the dream was. All right, verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Now, this must be his protection. You know, this is the guy that does all of his bidding for him. So the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon, he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel went to this captain of the king. He's supposed to come in there and kill everybody. And he's like, wait a minute. Nobody consulted us. I mean, I'm just learning about this. Why is this so a hasty thing? Daniel says, take me in there and let me talk to the king. If he'll give me time, I'll tell him what the dream was and the interpretation. That's faith. At this time, Daniel don't know what the dream was. He don't know the interpretation, but he says, if you'll take me in there, I've got enough faith in the God of heaven. That's pretty bold. I mean, you got somebody laying a sword at your neck. Hey, I'll tell you the dream. You better know what it is before you say, I'm fixing to tell you the dream. Daniel's a man of faith. He says, I know my God's going to tell it to me. Now watch this. And in verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now watch this. Daniel goes back home and says, look, guys, we fix to have a prayer meeting. We fix to have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. They fix to kill us. And y'all better pray. And I ain't talking about none of this lay me down, pray me the sword keeps, you know, all this kind of stuff. Thank you for the food. Good God, let's eat. None of that kind of praying. Boys, y'all better know how to pray. Because we got till in the morning for God to tell us what this dream is. And so they have an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Now look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Look at there, in the middle of the night. God revealed what the dream was. Then Daniel, hey, anytime God answers your prayer, don't forget to thank him. If God answers your prayer, don't forget. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Notice he's still praying, and he changes the times and seasons. He removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God, my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. So here we go. Daniel's being brought in. And the first thing he says, Daniel says, don't kill all the rest of them guys. They're dumb. They don't know any better. You know, they're a bunch of fakes. But look, don't kill them. You know, I may can try to win them to the Lord a little later. Amen. So just don't kill them. Get me in before the king, and I'll tell him the interpretation. Now look at verse number 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. You remember he changed all them boys' names. Belteshazzar is the same person as Daniel. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king, said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the... Here, watch this. We're getting down to where the meat is. What shall be where? In the latter days. Remember I told you about Daniel and the book of Revelation tying up together? Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And so he's fixing to start telling him about this dream that he had. Look at verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into my mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes, that should make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Daniel don't take any credit. He don't take any credit for this. He don't boast and say, hey, I had all this thing figured out on my own. He's like, there's only one person that can tell you, and that's God Almighty. If y'all remember, we won't take time to go there, but over there in Genesis 40, about 41, about verse 16, if you're watching on the internet, Genesis 41, about verse 16, Joseph, y'all remember Joseph, the coat of many colors, he was able to interpret dreams and all of that kind of thing. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph said, God is the interpreter of dream, not me. And everything points to, if you'll notice, I'll say this in passing and we'll move on. But if you'll notice, you can tell when a person is wanting the focus on them or if they're pointing the focus toward God. Anytime somebody gets up, speaks, preaches, sings, whatever, does whatever, you can tell if somebody's wanting, you know, hey, y'all look at me, you know, or hey, y'all look what God can do. There's a difference. And so you can tell these sorcerers over here, they're saying, hey, this is what we can do, and found out they couldn't. And Daniel says, here's the interpretation, but I didn't get that on my own. That come from God. There's a big difference. Now, look at verse number 31. Thou, O king, sawest, here's the dream, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellence, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Now, you say, what in the world? That's an old Elizabethan term. We use the word terrible for one reason, but here is frightful. This thing was huge. It was fearful. It was frightful, and the Bible calls it was thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part clay. Thou sawest till the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken into pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, I don't know if you know where we're going or not, but the image that they saw, Nebuchadnezzar saw, God gave Daniel the interpretation. The head was of gold. Here's a couple of things I want to point out to you while we're looking at that. The head was of gold. As you come down the body of this image, notice the material gets weaker and weaker and weaker. You start with gold. Then you go to silver. Then you go to bronze. Then you go to iron. And then when you get to the toes, it's iron mixed with clay. The head of gold is Babylon. The head of the torso of silver is the Medes and the Persian Empire when they took over. And then under Alexander the Great, the Greeks took over. And then after that, the Roman Empire took over. The Roman Empire split. You have a Western division and an Eastern division. You have Greek Orthodox. You have the Roman Empire. That's why you have the two legs. If you'll notice up here where the silver is, there's two arms. Well, that's the Medes and the Persians. They ruled together, same time. So that's why you got two arms. Why? Medes and the Persians, there are two of them. Roman Empire, there's two legs. It's split. Eastern and Western. And then the iron, the 10 toes of iron and mixed with clay, we'll talk about that in just a second. Now here, let me point something out. How do y'all like my image? Now I know it runs a close second to what is up there on the screen. I know. But now what this does, when God gives Nebuchadnezzar this vision, here's where the prophecy comes in. All of that stuff we just read, most of it self-explanatory, you know, about the dream, who can interpret, who can't, all that kind of stuff. Daniel comes in, tells him, hey, this is here's the dream right here. And it starts in 606 B.C., before Christ, 606 years before Christ. That means 606 years before Christ, Babylon took over and became the world power. They brought the Jews into captivity. Remember? We talked about that last week. Well, soon after that, Nebuchadnezzar was the king under here. It wasn't long after that, the Medes and the Persians, they whooped the Babylonians, and they became the world power in 538 B.C. Now, I know I'm giving you some boring history, but hang on. It's important. The Medes and the Persians, they ruled, and then in 330... Alexander the Great. Now, we got Nebuchadnezzar. You got Darius and Cyrus, who were the kings of Persia Empire. And then you've got Alexander the Great with the Greece Empire in 330 B.C., 330 years before Christ. And then Rome. 30 B.C. took over. 30 years before Christ was born, Rome came into power. Do y'all remember Jesus hanging on the cross? We have no king. The Jews said, we have no king but Caesar. Who was Caesar? Roman emperor. Rome was in power when Jesus came. Guess who crucified? I know the Jews crucified the Lord. They wanted to crucify, but they had to get permission from Rome to do so. That's why they had those five mock trials. The Sanhedrin had to go before Pilate. Pilate, the Roman governor under Caesar. Before Pilate had to give the decree to execute the Lord. Rome was in power. And of course, the two legs, Rome split. Now, here's something going to be interesting. Obviously, Rome fell, 70 A.D.? And when I say 70 A.D., that means after the birth. 70 years after the birth, Rome fell. So that leaves time for the church, okay? Then when the church leaves at the rapture, the tribulation sets in. And Rome, the Roman Empire, is coming back into play. I'll show you. These 10 toes, y'all see them? Don't they look like toes? 10. In the tribulation, toward the end of the tribulation, 10 confederated nations join together and revive the Roman Empire and overtake the world again. That's what's going to happen. The Antichrist. The Antichrist comes from those 10 toes. And then what's going to happen? What he just say in Daniel's dream, or excuse me, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, there was a stone come out of nowhere, not made with hands, and busted this image into pieces. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. A stone come out of the heavens. Second coming of Christ. Revelation 19. A stone comes down. Second coming. And he's going to bust this image. And this image will be destroyed. And guess who? Nebuchadnezzar was king. Darius and Cyrus was king. Alexander the Great. Caesar. Who's going to be king now? And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And that's why in Revelation 19 they say he'll be King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's what he's talking about. Now, about that dream, let's look at... think about this. Think for a second. Daniel's already got a knife up to his throat. And if you don't tell me what this dream is, you're toast, buddy. Can you imagine Daniel having the guts to go in and tell Nebuchadnezzar there's somebody coming that's fixing to whoop you? And they're going to dethrone you, and your kingdom is going to be... That's pretty brave. And not only them, but then Alexander the Great comes along, takes over, and whoops them. And then Rome comes along in 30 B.C., whoops them, and takes over. Now, let's look at verse 36. Let's get on down here. Verse 36. This is the dream... And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Verse 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. A king of, not the king of kings, but a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Who's the head of gold? Nebuchadnezzar. He's the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. That's what the interpretation. And then verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. You see that? Strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh the pieces, and it breaketh in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Now, if you say, what in the world? Now, y'all, listen, I'm telling you, this is coming to a city near you. These toes, iron, Roman iron mixed with clay. I'm telling you, mark it down. I hope it ain't this go around. But by the time you get in the middle of the tribulation period, this country, America, that we were standing and sitting in right now, will become totally socialistic and communist. It's headed that direction already. And if you can't see that, your head's in the sand and you need to quit watching soap operas and get a Bible and start reading. If you can't figure that out. We're headed in that direction as fast as we can go. You say, well, you know, look, it don't matter who wins. Look, let me just tell you. can I just say this? The train is headed toward socialism and communism. Okay? If you get a good president in there, it'll slow the train down. If you get another guy in there, the train's going to speed up. Does that make sense? It don't matter. We're still headed that way. It all depends on how fast we get there to here. Now, I'm going out here. You understand? But the train is headed here. I'm getting off the train here. You understand? But I'm just telling you, the election, you need to vote. Everybody needs to vote. And you need to vote right and vote, and all that kind of good stuff. And you just have to pray and vote. But I'm telling you, it all depends on how fast the train moves after November 3rd. You with me? The train might slow down and we won't be headed into that. But, Lord help. Bernie Sanders, Lord help. That train would have speed up to 200 miles an hour with him. Hallelujah. Anyway. Well, hopefully the internet didn't blow up just then. But that's what that's where we're headed. This drawing is just immaculate, don't you think, Jerry? It's just wonderful. All right. Now let's look. All right, look at, let's see, verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they that mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, let me just tell you something to think about. I don't want to go into a long, because y'all really will think I'm crazy, which if you don't already. But I want you to notice something very clearly what the Bible says in 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, that they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. You have no idea, and I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes in these science labs and all this kind of stuff, but I can promise you this. They're trying to clone human beings. They're trying to, and I'm telling you, there's coming a day in this tribulation period where there's going to be an army of robots controlling, I know. I just everybody just looked at me like, oh my word, he's been watching too much sci-fi. Iron mixed with clay. Have y'all already seen the robots where they can control, and this thing looks real, it talks, and it's like, hey, how you doing? And it's a robot, but it looks human. Iron mixed with coming to a city near you. Now, you look, whatever. Brother Jeremy's a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. That right there is talking about the end times, the way that's going to be in tribulation. Iron mixed with clay, robots and humans. Watch and see. Well, I'm going to be watching it from up here, but you watch and see. Amen. Now, let me show you something real quick before we have to find a stopping point. Remember I told you these 10 toes right here? 10 of them. Miss Jane's looking, boy, they don't look like toes to me. Well, that's 10 toes. I promise. That's what it is. Look at Revelation. Revelation 13 first. Revelation 13. Verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and how many horns? 10 horns. Those seven heads are seven kingdoms. Those 10, seven kingdoms, kings rather, and those 10 horns are those kings of those kingdoms. The Antichrist is going to rise up out of one of these 10. Those nations that are over there, all in the Middle East. Those 10. Now I think it's 17. 17 of Revelation. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast full of eyes of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The 10 horns that Revelation is talking about on that beast are the 10 toes of Daniel's or Nebuchadnezzar's image or dream, rather. Does that make sense? All right, the times of the Gentiles. Here's a verse that what we're talking about, Babylon, Medes, Persians, the Greeks, Roman Empire, all the way through. Jesus in Luke 21 calls this the times of the Gentiles. These are all Gentile nations ruling the world. Beforehand, God wanted to raise up a Jewish kingdom to rule the world. Okay? They disobeyed, they did everything they could except follow God. And so God brought them into captivity. Why? To teach them a lesson. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel, even today, right today, they don't even have control of their own land. They're still under authority. But when that stone comes out of the mountain and breaks this image in pieces, Jesus will be King of Kings, and here will be a Jewish, just like he promised them way back here. You understand? Now Jesus, King of Kings, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. That's what we're talking about. Amen? I'm trying to see here, verse 44, we're almost finished. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, just told you, shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Just talking about right here, this kingdom. For as much as thou sawest, verse 45, that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel says, that's it. There's your dream. And he dreamed of this image right here. And he walked into the king of the head of gold, Babylon, and says, there's coming a day when you're going to be brought down. That's pretty brave. Pretty brave. But hey, king, you asked for it. You asked for the interpretation. Here it is. You know? And of course, we'll read the rest of that probably next time, because all 46, 47, 48, and 49, after that, well, look, watch what happens in 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. In other words, offer a sacrifice unto Daniel. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Hey, Daniel is in high cotton right now. Listen, the story, watch this. Remember, I referred to this last week. Joseph was sold by his brothers, hated by his brothers, sold into the Midianites, into the pit. Then he was sold into Potiphar's house. He became Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, the wicked witch of the West, and all that kind of thing. Got thrown in prison for something he didn't do. And then he found favor. God had his hand on Joseph. And then Joseph interpreted a dream of Pharaoh, and Joseph wound up in second in command. Does that sound familiar? When you're living for God, when you're doing right, even in an evil society, God will have his hand on you and watch over you and put you over things that you thought you'd never be over. And Daniel now, he's got some clout now. So even though God's trying to teach the nation as a whole a lesson by putting them under Babylonian captivity, the ones that are in the nation of Israel that's trying to serve God and want to serve God, he rises them above. Y'all see that? And puts them in positions of protection. Amen. Anyway, here's another chart. This is a Larkin, if anybody ever reads after Clarence Larkin. This is a Larkin chart. The times of the Gentiles. And the head of gold, Babylon, 606 B.C. Silver, two arms, Medes and the Persians. Alexander the Great. And then, of course, Rome was, you know, split, two legs, Western, Eastern, so on and so forth. And all that kind of thing. Anyway. Question, comment.